like to say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
We're thankful to God to be here again in the place of worship, and we're so thankful to have those who may be visiting with us. We appreciate you being in the audience this morning, and those who are listening to us via conference call or live stream. We welcome you to our services on this morning. We appreciate you so very much. If you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're experiencing New Testament pattern of worship, where we sing. Wasn't that a beautiful song? Beautiful song. I love that song. And that's what mechanical instruments and music would have messed that song up. Yeah, so that's what you experience in New Testament pattern worship, where we sing without the help of instruments. The whole congregation is the choir. So we don't have a choir. We have guitars and guitar fillings, drums and beatboxing and bass mic. And we don't do none of that at High Lights, because you would mess up those beautiful voices that God gave us. Get to hear our sisters. I love that song. And I like to hear them brothers singing them basses.
Yeah.
Don't y'all? Yeah, boy. I wish I could sing. One time I was sitting by a good friend. I thought he was my friend anyway. And I was singing. I was getting into the singing. He leaned over and he said, "Boy, I'm sure you're glad you can preach." That's what I said. That's not a friend, is it? I'm glad I don't have to sound good to them. I sound good to God, speaking myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So in a New Testament pattern worship, you'll see men serving, not women preaching. Men will do the servicing, nourishing. And we'll take the Lord's Supper not on the first Sunday every month, but every Sunday. Every Sunday. We do this because that's the way Christians worship in the New Testament. A lot of people don't know that. They don't know that. And we don't tithe, we give. Yeah, we give. And that's from the heart. It's not about who gives the most, but how big is your heart. God sees your heart. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not after the money. That's not what we're about. We're trying to save souls. Now, if you believe Jesus died on the cross, then you're in a good place. Do y'all believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you believe it, then if you're not a Christian, the way you become a Christian is you believe that with all of your heart, that He suffered, bled, and died on Calvary because of the Bible, not that you saw it with your eyes. And you believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Make a change in your mind that I'm ready to make a change. And then be willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. Then we'll baptize you as commanded by the Lord. The water is ready. We got clothes for you, something for your hair. Amen. You can take your hair off, put it back on, or whatever you need to do. You know, some men wear toupees, right? So I'm talking to them guys, right?
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, I miss my mama. How many of you all miss your mama if she's not with you?
Amen.
Oh, boy. It's something about a mama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turn your Bible. I'm going to show you something real quick on mine. This is not my sermon, but I'm going to give y'all something on mama. I want to give you this. 1 Kings chapter 3. I want you all to listen to this story. A lot going on in the world today about mothers aborting babies. It's all over the news. I want you all to show what happens here in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him." King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. The one said, "Oh Lord, and I... And this woman dwelled in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nah, but the living is my son, and the dead is your son, her son. So they're debating on who the child belongs to. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and living is my son, dost thou speak before the king? So he's listening to this argument between these two harlots. We had two babies, and one of them died. And now we're trying to determine who is the mother. And the king says, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Cut it in half. Get half to one mama and half to the other mama. Sounds cruel. But this is the wisest man that ever lived, trying to decide, make a decision before the people. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king. For her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king, as it says, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother. And all Israel heard the judgment of the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. I would say a mother would not ever kill her own child. She would not take the innocent life of a baby. Now, I do know that there are occasions where you make decisions that you regret the rest of your life. You can be forgiven for abortion, just like any other sin, but you can't take the innocent life and be okay. Now, I'm talking to those who may have done it, and you have to live with your conscience now. But understand this, you can be forgiven for what you've done.
That's right.
But it's not okay to take the life of an innocent child. That's murder. Now, when you're a Christian and you want to do what's right, you don't have to go back and forth about this matter. And I'm going to talk about that later on. Life is in the womb. That's a life. There's a soul there as well. And so I don't know, maybe you're in the audience and you're thinking about abortion. It's not okay in the eyesight of God. And you just need to know that, right? Amen?
Amen.
So I'm trying to say it cautiously because I know there are occasions people get, women get raped and all kind of things happen. And you got all these hypotheticals just like you do when it comes to a lot of things that are controversial. But at the end of the day, is it right or wrong in the eyesight of God? Now, this mother, the king proved that she wanted her child to what?
Live.
Live. And so Solomon said, that's your mama right there. Now, I know this about my mother. Now, stop. My mother, she didn't like me when I was bad. She didn't like me when I was mannish. She called me little mannish tail. But she always loved me. Even as a grown man, I can remember going through a very difficult time, and I called my mama. It's just something about her voice that could help me through a situation. How many of you got a mother like that? And another thing, she always told me, if you ever listened to me preach, you always heard me say this. My mother always told me when I was cutting up, you don't get but one mother. And when I'm gone, you don't get another one. Boy, that always straightened me up. And you know, I know what that feels like now. So to those of you, and I know my children going through with the loss of their mother, but for those of you who still have your mother living, treasure your time with your mother. Amen?
Amen.
That's the best I'm going to do on Mother's Day sermon. Now, the sermon I was going to preach is called Behold, I Thought in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's about a man named Naaman, a Syrian. He was healed from this dreadful disease called leprosy. Leprosy is an intense disease. It's contagious, and you got to stay away from them. You kind of almost like COVID. But this man had the disease. In chapter 5, verse 1, we'll do quite a bit of reading, and at the end, we'll make the application, and then I'll call him a reader. He says in chapter 5, verse 1,
Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper.
And he was a leper. So he had a high position. However, he has this problem. Go ahead.
And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife.
So this woman takes care of Naaman's wife. Go ahead.
And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Israel and the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy."
So he sends Naaman to get his leprosy taken care of. It came to pass.
When the king of Israel had read the letter,
that
he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me."
All right.
And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah.
Here comes the man that's sick, goes to the man of God who can help him, right? And now Elijah sent
a messenger unto him, saying,
"What you do?
Go.
Now you want to be healed. So what I want you to do is go
wash in Jordan.
Wash in Jordan
7 times.
7 times.
And thy flesh shall come again to thee,
and
thou shalt be clean."
It's just that simple. You want to be healed, just go ahead into the Jordan River specifically. And you wash in there how many times?
Seven.
Very specific. 7 times. If you dip in that Jordan River 7 times, you will be healed. Your flesh will be just like a child. Notice what happened.
But Naaman was
wrong. This is what I want to put emphasis on this morning. But Naaman was what?
Wroth.
Now, why are you upset? What is wrong? You're the one sick. You're the one need help. You went to the man that could tell you what to do. But rather than do what he told him to do, he's upset. That's like people. When you tell them what God say, they're upset.
Yeah.
But then you come asking what to do. And then when we tell you what to do, you're upset about what you're supposed to do. Doesn't that sound like people today?
Yeah.
I'm going to make some more application. But notice what he said.
And went away and said, "Behold, I thought."
Now, there's the sermon title right there. There is the problem with him. He's doing all the thinking. So you got 2 ears and 1 mouth. What that mean? You ought to do more listening than you do. Yeah. And that's what gets a lot of us in trouble. We don't listen to the Lord. We go on our own thoughts. Now, here you go. I thought.
And said, "Behold, I thought he
would
surely
come to me
and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place."
Now, he had his own plan for the man to heal him. That's like going to the doctor and saying, what I need you to do, I need you to give me 5 milligrams of this, give me 2 shots. Why did you come to the doctor if you already knew the answer? This guy going to tell me, I thought he was going to do this. What he surely come to me and stand, call on the name of his Lord, and strike his hand over the place.
And recover the leper.
Yeah, I don't want to get no water. Why you just going to come on and say, man, you God, he's God, man. So I'm God, man, God healing. I don't want to get no water. That wasn't what I was thinking about. I didn't bring no clothes to get in the water. I ain't trying to get in the water. Don't that sound like people when it comes to baptism? I thought I could just sit where I am. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I accepted my personal Savior. I thought that would be a good enough. Why we got to use water? Why I got to get wet, mess up my $500 hairdo? Boy, there's some hairdos out there today. Sharon had straightened me out, and then when I first came to Highlight, I said, boy, that girl got some good looks. I said, boy, that ain't no. I see, now some useless, don't, I'm not trying to. Yeah, I mean, they do it now. But they showed me, they could put some waves, and they said, Brother Brooks, the guy told me, said, look here, I can put some waves up there. Glue that thing down. No, this is a true story. I was at the bar, he told me, and he showed me a picture, and it was tempting, too. I said, why I fall up and highlight with some waves? I said, what would they say? Yeah, he showed me a picture. He could put that thing and glue it down on top of my head and then cut around and shave this down and look just like the same color in mine and everything. Bro, Scott, you might want to consider that. You get a little white up top. They can change your colors and do anything. But here's the thing. I don't even know how I got on there, but... Yeah, baptism. They want to mess up their hair. Thank you. Some people want to get their hair wet. That's your thoughts, right? You're saying, I thought I could just go on and accept Jesus where I am and I'd be saved. But look what happened in this case. He said, now look here.
Are not Abana,
Abner,
and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?
Hey, you going to say now, okay, if I got to get washed, why can't go to the better waters than Jordan? I don't know if Jordan was muddy or what was going on, but he thought Abner and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, was better than the waters of Israel. If I got to go wash, why I can't just, if I got to get baptized, why you just can't sprinkle some water on me? I thought just pour a little water on top of my head ought to be good enough. That's what I was thinking. Now you mean to tell me I got to go in there, take all my clothes off, and the man got to push me under the water? Man, I thought it'd be a lot simpler than that. Y'all starting to see it, ain't you? Now look what happened.
May I not wash in them and be clean?
Yeah.
So he turned went away in a rage.
And he upset about it. I got the water. Now you want me to go to Jordan or Elmore? And Naaman, you said it. Naaman, nobody won't even be around you. Because you got this thing called leprosy. And here you are complaining about the water, complaining I got to get in the water, what water I got to get in. And now I'm upset again. You got upset when he first told you. Now you're upset again because you can't go to the water you want. What's wrong with this guy? Something wrong with him. Well, let's go on.
And his servants came near and spake unto him.
People are witnessing this thing, says to him.
My father.
He said, now, if the prophet
had bid thee do some great thing,
yeah,
wouldst thou not have done it?
Now, it don't sound like he asked too much of you. He didn't tell you to go jump up and down 10 times, then go back in the water, jump in there, and jump back out, and jump back in. He didn't tell you to do all that. He just said, watch sometimes in this river. The people looking at him say, what is his problem? How much rather than any of you,
he said, wash and be clean.
Then he went down. And after he started listening to other people, and then he said, well, okay, I mean, if that's what it's going to take, I'll just go. Don't seem like he's excited about it at all. I'm going to try. I'll give it a try. Then he went down and dipped himself
7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God.
Now, he did just what the man of God told him to do. And what happened?
And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child.
So it worked.
And he was clean.
You think he was surprised that it worked? He was surprised that it worked. I mean, it did. It came clean. He probably like, wow, that did work. All that fussing I did, and it worked. All I had to do was go do it. Do what the man told me to do, and I'd been all right. Then he returned to the man of God. He returned to Elisha in the desert, and all his company.
And came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.
Now, he read it, I want to bless him for that, you know. Yeah. But now, look here. Here's the application. It's Isaiah 55, verse 6. And I'm going to give you this lesson. Here's the application. I want y'all to beat all the other people to lunch. You know, the restaurant's going to be crowded today, right? With Mother's Day, so I'm going to let y'all get away with it, get out here and go. And now, Isaiah 55, 6, he says,
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Right.
Call ye upon him while he is near.
Uh-huh.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Read on.
For my thoughts...
Now, here's where we are. Here's what God has to do with thinking. God says, look here.
For my thoughts...
Are not your thoughts. Remember, he said, I thought. Behold, I thought. Your thoughts is not God's thoughts. God said, neither your ways, my ways, say the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And your thoughts. Isaiah says, for the rain, as the rain cometh down, the snow cometh
from heaven. And
return not thither, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud,
then may it give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
So shall
my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
So God says this. Look here. He's saying to all of us, I don't think like you.
Amen.
And that's got a lot of people in trouble. And I'm just give you some pointers. Y'all can write them down if you want to, and I'll give you this lesson. You thought that if you married a man or a woman that wasn't a Christian, that you were going to be okay because later on they're going to become Christian. You're still in that same marriage and it's tore up. But God didn't think like that now. This is to these people who go out and unequally yoke to someone who don't believe like you. God's thought is this, 2 Corinthians 6:14. God says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness? There are many marriages tore up right now. The home is divided. One goes to the Baptist church and one goes to the Church of Christ, and the kids don't know what to do. One tell them to accept Jesus, the person to save it. Other tell them to be baptized for the remission of sins. But whose thought are you using when it comes to marriage? And I would say all the young people who have not married, you ought to be looking for a like believer. That's the first thing you look at. You're going to the club. You ain't going to find no believer in the club. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you know, brothers at the church ain't no good. But that's a good place to start.
Amen.
You can say what you want to say. Some of these women have found them a good man in the Lord. Amen, Wall. Amen, sister. If you got your good husband, you ought to say amen. Amen. I got a man.
Amen.
Yeah, and he's in the Lord too. Yeah, so, you know, you got to be thinking about that. Be proactive before you fall in love. And then you want to come to me for premarital counseling, and you in lust, you're not in love. And Brother Burke going to say no, but number one, both of you need to be thinking about your souls first.
Amen.
If you love the woman, help her save her soul.
That's it.
Man, a man don't want to save his soul, he don't love you. Amen. See, I told you I was going to give you something. I got number two. That's number one. Number two.
You want to come to me and Brother Stroud after you got married and the man started popping your head. You come in with three hats on, three knots. Yeah. Now, you come in and you come in here and you're a man and that woman is running things. And you ain't liking it. And so you ready to go get a divorce because, you know, it ain't what I thought it was, Brother Brooks. She ain't all that in the bag of chips. She's pretty, but when she got home, all that stuff came off with her. You know, I didn't know. I know what you mean. You know, we can make it up real good. Now, sisters ain't liking what I'm saying, but that's just the truth. What I'm really talking about is why you want us to say to you, well, go on, divorce him. Well, you say, I got a divorce, and I thought it was all right. I thought God, it didn't matter to God. Well, why you didn't consult God about divorce before you even got married? Well, here's what it said. You want to know what God's thought is? Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 31. And Brother Stroud did a more in-depth marriage, divorce, and remarriage lesson. It's on the website. Go over there and listen to it. He did a good job the last 3 weeks. But everybody want to come up with these hypotheticals. Well, what if he's doing this? And what if it's going on? And what is this? What can't we say? We can't do more or less or say more and less than God has said.
That's right.
It's not going to happen. You say, well, I thought that's the problem. It's what you thought. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 31, Jesus was very straightforward with this matter. He says, it has been said that whosoever put away his wife, let him get a writing of divorcement. He said, that's been said, yeah, Old Testament. But I say, now the Lord come back and say, here's what I'm saying, here's my thoughts. That whosoever put away his wife, for the cause of
fornication,
irreconcilable differences, abuse, violence, rape. Bad breath. No, I mean, she don't clean up. He like Brother Stroud throw his clothes down in the floor. Hope Sister Stroud gonna pick him up. He done told us that story, so I'm gonna use it. She straightened him up real fast. I ain't your mama. I ain't your maid. Oh, I'm ready to get rid of her now. You say, what reason is okay, Brother Brooks? Who's thought? Let's look at God's thought. Then whosoever put away his wife, save for the cause of
fornication.
Come on, say it with me. Here it is. I'm going to give you the one. For the cause of
fornication.
For the cause of
fornication.
Now you say, well, what else can I put? I can't put nothing else in there but fornication.
Amen.
He causes her to commit adultery. And then he causes her to commit adultery. And then she go marry another person. Now that person is in adultery.
Amen.
Isn't that what God's thoughts were? So here's what you need to do. First of all, if you have not married, don't just jump up and marry.
That's right.
Now, if you marry, if you get baptized so I can marry this person, because they say I got to be a member of the Church of Christ in order for him or her to be my wife, that's not a reason to marry. That's not a reason to get baptized. You need to marry the Lord first, because if the man leaves you, you're still going to be all right with the Lord. If the lady leaves you, you're all right with the Lord. Marry the Lord first, establish that relationship, and then he'll bring those two together. Amen. You thought everything was going to be good. But look where you at. You're in a world where y'all sleep in a different room. You don't speak to each other half the time. You can't stand each other no more. There ain't no more fire in the marriage. There's no relationship in the marriage. There's nothing going on good in the bedroom. There's nothing going on good other than you both are in the same house cohabitating. Think you're fooling everybody because you acting like your marriage is in a good place and you know it's not in a good place. But then those who know the Lord, you know you cannot divorce this man or this woman only for one reason. Now let me say this to you too. You best work on forgiveness before you go to the judge. See, some people want to divorce. They thought if I divorce, I ain't got to have nothing else to do. That's a soul. And you got to forgive them no matter what they done. So in my opinion, you work on forgiving the adultery and you can get the marriage back together. Divorce ain't the divorce is just not something you just go do. You got to reconcile. And then for those of you who separated and not coming back together, you're in sin, both of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Just go over there and get it. What's the Lord thought? Well, I thought maybe we could just go and separate, do whatever we want to do, and everything will be all right. No, you're putting yourself in a bind. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's go over there in verse 1. Now, this ain't no popular message, but I know it's not. I know it's not. Some of you ain't liking this. Yeah, you all separated in your house. I ain't say you left the same house. You separated in your house. And I know this to be a fact, that are Christians who live like this. Paul said, now,
concerning the thing,
it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Whew. Boy, that's a bad verse right there if you just stop. And brother said, man, don't stop with that one. And that next verse said, nevertheless. The brother said, thank God. Nevertheless. Thank God for nevertheless, man. He said, man, it's good for a woman not to touch a woman. A man not to touch a man. A man not to touch a woman. It's true, man. Nevertheless, to avoid
fornication.
What?
Fornication.
Let every man have his own wife. Every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife. Do what?
Benevolence.
That's not giving gifts. That's not giving away food. That's the intent for reproduction. Y'all know what that means, right? Man and woman come together to get a baby. That's what that's about. So a man said, well, I want a woman. But he said, well, to avoid fornication, get you a wife. Get you a husband. That's how you work on that thing. Then he says what?
And likewise also the wife unto the husband.
Yeah, now y'all got to take care of each other. Watch what he says. The wife has not power of her own body,
but the husband.
And likewise also the husband
has not power of his own body,
but the wife. Now, both of you got to consider what the other person. Now, this bothers me. My body is bothering your body. So I got to think about, if this is my wife and something's bothering her body, then I got to consider her body. See, some men don't understand sex ain't this thing where you just get to do whatever you want to do. How you want to do it. The way you want to do it. No, it's getting graphic, ain't it now? Because I'm the head. And when I need it, you do it. Do you know that's not what God wanted? He wants you to consider that woman's body. And he wants her to consider his body. We're talking about the physical side. But you thought I could just run her. And if I say go, it's time to go. When I say when, it's time when. I don't have to be nice to you during the day. But if I say at night, it's time. Because I'm the man. But you're not God's man, my brother.
That's
right. So God's men understand the husband is the head of wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, who died and gave himself in. Christ would never hurt the body.
That's right.
Every one of us as husbands should love our wives. And for the women who don't want to, oh, ain't no man going to tell me. No, you're not going to be a woman of God either. Here's the thing about it. You're under the rule of that man. What does that mean? You're under his leadership. What does that mean? What does that mean? Here's what sub means to. If a rock going to drop on me, on my wife, then I'm going to hit the rock that gets to me before it gets there. That's all sub means. Submission means you're under his care and protection. And what woman wouldn't want a man to stand and let the rock hit them before he hit him before he hit her? Every woman who understands what God meant in a man will not have a problem or feel inferior because you think you're inferior. When God said no, the man is to die for you. And that's what the husband is need to understand. Not about just sex.
Amen.
Amen. Why did, I don't know what's going on out there in Candyland or wherever it's at. Everybody want to do whatever thing they want to do. Yeah. I thought it was going to be all right. I know you did. Then he says this.
Defraud ye not one the other.
Don't withhold from each other.
Except it be with consent for a time.
Now, if we're going to have some issues to try to resolve, and that we need to agree that we're going to kind of go to the two different rooms in the house first. See, these sermons, you don't have no lot of amens or hallelujah stuff going on. Especially with the man and the woman who's sitting next to each other and they done separated in the house. Holla Heights know nothing about it, but y'all both know I'm talking directly to you. And you know the word of God ain't going to come back, boy. It's whooping you. And you ready to get out of here and hope you can get out quick because Brother Brooks needs to end this sermon. I know what you want. Yeah, if you move now, you're going to show your hand. And if he's sitting right next to you, just do this. He ain't going to even move. He goes, Boy, if you put that elbow on his side right about now, because he know he just the wrongest two left shoes. And then you look at her and say, you ain't no better. Say it, honey, but you ain't no better. Now, here's the problem. He said this.
That you may give yourselves to fasting.
The purpose of separation is to think about it and go to God. Not forever. For a period of time. Why? Read.
Fasting and prayer.
Yeah. You done got into the sermon, ain't you? Well, you keep reading.
And come together again.
Yeah, now you got, but y'all go back to the same room.
That Satan tempt you not for you your incontinency.
I don't like the mattress you got on. We'll get one of the books. Got the two sides. Like I used to do with Sharon. I didn't like that old mattress. You want to thing. You tip one side up and the other side down. I'd be like, hey, Sharon. It's me. Tommy. She way up there like that. I didn't like that old mattress. I hate that. I want her to lay it back down. You know what I'm saying? You know how the brothers see what I'm saying? Young folk. Yeah, but go get you one of them kind. She snore well. Take her down there and get a CPAP. Yeah, go get to sleep. Y'all know them. That means y'all got some about to snore. You just put some earplugs in. Don't separate over that snoring stuff. Boy, I know. I'm finna stop. Well, give me a little bit more. Can I get a little bit more out of there? 5 more minutes. Okay, good. Thank you. I didn't need but one person to say yeah, because I was going to do it anyway. But here's what he's saying. Here's the problem, y'all. That Satan, come together, that Satan tempt you not for your what?
Incontinency.
Act of control. Now, but I speak this by permission, not a commandment. But I would that all men, even as I myself, Paul said that every man had his proper gift of God,
and one after this man, another after that.
I say therefore, to the unmarried and the widow, it's good for them. They abide even as I. Paul said that if you can do it, it's a good thing. Not to have a wife. Now, understand this, brothers. There's more to a wife than just that night stuff. Right? Amen.
Amen.
Sisters? Yeah. Man, you got you a good wife, you got a good thing. Amen. Yeah, a woman can make a difference in your house. Well, I didn't know how much I didn't know until I had to start cooking. Washing my own dishes, washing my clothes, folding them up. I didn't know how to fold no shirt. Yeah, you see, now I can talk. See, 20 years... 4 years ago, I couldn't talk about this stuff like I can now. Something I think I preach more from experience now than I do context. Some things you experience and you learn, man, that was valuable. Right? Amen. I'm trying to help the brothers who still got a living wife. That you learn to appreciate all the things that she brings to that marriage.
Amen.
And to the women, you are to appreciate all the things that your husband brings to the marriage. He brings a lot of things. You don't think about it unless you lose them. And then you'll see all the things he did for you. You'll see all the things he done for you. Yeah, well, you don't do nothing for me, man. You think about what you're saying. Yes, somebody waking me up on Sunday morning and say, hey, get up and study. You got to get in there and study before you go to work. Man, just having to do that myself, I was used to it. Am I helping anybody?
Amen.
I'm trying to help you to love them. Love them now. And get your mind off of all that other stuff. That's the priority of your marriage. The grown-up folk know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Sometimes just a little walk in the park, boy, go a long way, brother, if you just grab her by her hand. See, sometimes we don't know enough about affection, so she feels, oh, that's all you want. But if you will hold my hand every once in a while, say something nice to me, talk to me like you love me, things might change. But I feel worthless. Because you don't never say nothing nice to me. You only say something when you're upset at me. And then at night you want to be all happy and hunky-dory. Everything good now, huh? Rascal. Now that's just two out of it. I had about 10. I'm going to stop. So that's marriage, divorce, remarriage. Bro, Stryker, you've done a good job on that, by the way. And I encourage you to go back on. And because I'm reading, I'm slowing down because this marriage thing is really being, it's getting to be a real problem, even in the Lord's church. It's been a problem, but this divorce stuff is a big problem. And then you got these separated Christians who think they're both okay and they're not. I think I need to spend a little time on it, don't y'all?
Amen.
You thought you was all right. So, you know, I got some more. I'll pick it up next week. Let's stop there. I got two out of about 10 thoughts. You thought all you were good. Now, here's the last part. You think you saved. This is the people who are not saved. You think you saved. First of all, to the members of the church who don't repent, just make confessions. Brothers and sisters, I have sinned. Go back and do the same thing. You thought you were forgiven when you did that? You know God know your heart, and he know you were lying, that you were going to go back and shack? You were going to go right back to drinking. You were going to go right back to doing whatever you just... See, I repented Sunday morning so I could take my communion. You didn't repent. Repent means you don't do it. And Jesus said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. Brothers, repentance means stop it. That's why we are teaching more. Repent, you're just not confessing, but stopping. That's when you are forgiven. Is that making sense?
Amen.
That's to the members of the Lord's church. And let me clear the air out because somebody asked me about the conference call. Well, we left that optional for now. So I didn't say nothing about it being a sin. Some people at home, they're sick and shut in, and they can't. Some people are not comfortable with the COVID yet. So if you thought I said last week, if you're on the conference call, I hope y'all listened. I said, I did not use the word sin at all. I'm trying to encourage you to put God first. If you can drive to work, you can drive to worship.
Amen.
But if you're at home and you're in a bed and you're in a wheelchair and you're sick, you can't drive to work and you ain't going to drive to the church. Don't you think we know that?
Amen.
That's called being providentially hindered. And with the COVID, people who have underlying conditions, they can't take the risk. Amen. I'm taking risks. You're taking risks. COVID is still alive. It's not gone. Amen. But do I encourage you to just lay at home in the bed because it's convenient and stay on the phone? No, I encourage you to come so we can worship together so you can help us and we can help you.
Amen.
That's the purpose of fellowship, you all. God put it this way. He made the body to be together. That's forsaking the assembly. And at some point, it's going to be forsaking the assembly, and that's when it becomes a sin. But as the leadership says, optional for now, it's optional.
but we must teach on the importance of coming back. So did I straighten that up or not?
Amen.
Okay, then. Don't go say Brother Brooks said it's a sin. I didn't say that.
Amen.
So I'm going to straighten you up now. Take it back. And I'm not playing with that type of stuff no more. I'm going to be very public about it. You know, it's time now for me. I mean, this is real, brother. I don't want no fussing and fighting and a whole bunch of junk going on around me no more. I can't take much of that. I don't know if it's age or what. Maybe it's age. You get to where you just don't want no drama. You don't want no fuss. You don't want no fight. I wouldn't want no one in my relationship that I had to fuss and fight with. I wouldn't want that. I don't even want to be around my kids when they're acting crazy. Y'all go home. Daddy can't take that kind of stuff. And take them little bad babies with you, too. Amen. Well, now, I love my grandkids, but I love to see them come. And then I like to see them go back home. Them little grasshoppers, I might do that again over there in Ecclesiastes. We can't have them little bitty baby jump around, running and jump. I said, man, get over there and sit down somewhere. So, members, I had to fix that. So, you on the call, you heard me now, right? Now, we're not going to have no e-memberships. That's what's going on in the brotherhood. People are placing their memberships at a congregation via internet. And they call them e-members. You can't be no e-member here. Amen, somebody. You got to be here to be a member here. Amen, somebody. We can't walk your soul over there in New York somewhere. Over there in Las Vegas, you down there. I'm a member of Brother Brooks. Yes. You like that one sister down in Arkansas. I had one brother, they went to, you know, right across Arkansas to Oklahoma. So they got them gambling casino. And then one of them brothers, that brother said he was pulling that lever. He was pulling that. He said he was popping up. He looked over there with another old sister in the church. He saw her. She saw him. He said, I don't see you, and you don't see me. That sister was trying to get some money out of that gambling thing. Oh, she was up there. She said, I don't see nothing wrong with you. You thought wasn't nothing wrong with gambling. We'll get to that one next week, too. And now, to those who are visiting. Now, you are listening today. Do you believe that Jesus suffered for you? If you believe that the Bible teaches us to preach that gospel to every creature, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Now, didn't just die, you all. He suffered on the cross for 6 long hours. And then when he came down off the cross, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. His mother was out there looking at her son being marred and beat up with a whip. And I know his mother had to be crying at that cross. How many of you mother would love to see your son on the cross? God left his son on the cross for all of us. Amen. And he suffered. And a person who wants to be saved must believe that with all of their heart. That person must repent of their sin. I don't want to keep going like this, Brother Brooks. I want to be a Christian. That means you need to do what God told you to do. You say, I thought I could be a Christian not coming to the building. I thought I could be a Christian that accepts Jesus. But your thoughts are not God's thought. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So if you believe it, then you'll be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God before men. And then you'll be baptized as commanded by Jesus. Matthew 28:18, Mark 16:15-16, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. Amen. Galatians 3:26, Romans 6. How many times do God have to say baptism?
Amen.
1 Peter 3:21. The baptism done also now save us. And then somebody said, I thought Abner Farfa would have been a better water. The water ready, clothes are ready, my song leader on the way up. And he said, well, sing because he lived. And maybe you're here today and you got something going on in your life. I'll get part two next week of this I thought stuff. But you could be in a situation today that you won't live to see next week. And if you're here and you want to get your life right and say, Lord, forgive me, write it on a card, the brother bring it up, and we will pray for you. If you need to make confession, you have to stand right where you are and say, I have sinned, brothers and sisters, and we will pray for you. That has to come from your mouth. We can't read a card and say it for you. If you're on the call, you have to hit 5-star, and we will let you make your confession. Prayer requests should be sent to our email. Prayer requests should be wrote on the script. But if you need to make a confession or you desire to be baptized and you're on our call and you're listening, you contact us. You hit 5-star on your phone or you contact us via our website and we'll make the arrangement wherever you are to get you baptized. But you cannot be a member of Highland Heights Church of Christ unless you're here. But we'll help you find a local congregation for you to go serve in. Now, I know this is good preaching. That's good preaching. It's good preaching. It's good preaching. Just stay with what God said, and we're going to be all right. But if we don't do what the Lord said, it's time to move. Amen. That's right. I don't care who it is. If Brother Brooks stopped doing what the Lord said, get out of here. Or get me out. Better yet. Better yet, get me out of here. But if I do something wrong, you're going to take me to, what that crazy place there? Rust? Take me to Rust. If I leave the church of Christ, if I start preaching what I believe is right, take me to the closest mental hospital. Because I can tell you something done went wrong upstairs. Amen. Now, you want to be baptized, we're getting ready to sing a song, we want you to come down to the front if you want to get baptized. Remain standing if you got a confession. Write on your card for a prayer request. And understand this, y'all. We're here today, but maybe not tomorrow. But because he lives, we can face whatever's coming.
That's right.
Would you come? As together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.
God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
If the grave. When you come to the Lord this morning, let him in your life. Let him in. Let him in your life. Be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Have your sins washed away. Become a member of the true church and read about in your Bible. And you can deal whatever comes with that. Because he lives, all here is gone. Amen. Hit 5-star on your phone. Yeah, if you have a prayer request. Want to get baptized? Hit 5-star. Want you to come to the Lord this morning? Come on to him. Come to him. Come to him. Come to him. Living just. Please be seated.